Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
We need to be done once and for all with the delusion of universal salvation, which is implicitly held by nearly all quarters these days. We need to recover the truth expressed in the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish everlastingly.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the Church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I am sure you recall that last time we were in the middle of the fifth trumpet as John described the grotesquery of these locusts that look like horses ready for battle, common Old Testament description of a locust plague, but who had human faces and long hair like women and fangs like a lion. It's hard even to picture that in your mind, isn't it? He might almost have written, "There were more awful to look at than anything you can imagine." Oh, and don't forget the crowns of gold on their heads. Crowns they kept because they want to be their own lords and do their own thing. They have no intention of being like the 24 elders and casting their crowns before the throne. Remember, too, the breastplates of iron and the noise of their wings, and don't forget to look at their back parts because they have tails with stings in them like scorpions. And these are all moving under one malevolent will. That is, they're united in their rebellion against the true king, and they serve instead the fake king, Satan, the destroyer. Remember how the fathers thought of these as heretics, spewing their demonically inspired false teachings on the earth to snare people and torment them. Moving further, a reading from Revelation, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the smoke and the fire and the sulfur coming from their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands or give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Revelation 9, verses 7 through 12. Let us pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Let us, your word, heir true, retain. Let us, your children and heirs, remain. Amen. So you're ready to think about what's up with this next horror in Revelation? Let's dig into it, verse 13. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, one of the keys to getting revelation is to think of it like a dream, and in this case, like a nightmare. It's not so much that you can run through the text and insist with certainty this means that. It's that you need to let the effect of the imagery pile up, both in its terror and finally in its stunning comfort. And just like in our dreams, the images can be very vivid, even if they make no logical sense. And yet, they evoke in us clear emotional responses. So, with this mysterious book. As the sixth angel puts the trumpet to his mouth and blows it, an answering voice is heard, and it's coming from the four horns of the golden altar, the altar of incense and prayer before the throne of God. And the voice commands the release of a certain four angels who have been bound at the river Euphrates. Given what these angels set to work doing, the fathers are pretty unanimous that these are evil angels. Primacius, writing in the middle of the 6th century, says they indicate the beginning of the persecution. Bede, the 8th century English scholar, seems to concur, adding, he spoke of four angels since the persecution will rage in the four parts of the earth, as in north, south, east, and west. In other words, it's going to be bad and bad everywhere. But it starts at the Euphrates, which is suggestive. Johann Gerhardt, the great Lutheran commentator on Revelation, actually believes that this passage is fulfilled in the rise of Islam that swept through areas that had formerly bowed the knee to King Jesus. Verse 15. So the four angels, who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. If Gerhard is right, and many follow the same thinking, then it was no accident when this false teaching asserted itself and swept over the world that it did so with armed violence. Again, we notice the divine passive, who had been prepared. Christ himself sets the day, the hour, and the year. That comfort never leaves his people. The Lamb is the one who is in charge of this whole history as it unfolds, and his ways may be inscrutable to us. Why does he permit such terror? This we know, though. He has it all in hand, and he is the master of turning ill to good. Verse 16. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. So the picture is of a huge army that follows the lead of these four demons or fallen angels, just as the terrifying locusts in the previous vision had been under the guidance of their king, the destroyer, Satan himself. Primacius, rightly I believe, takes the number as symbolic for the whole company of evildoers and heretics who corrupt the divine truth by fraudulently pretending to represent the true and living God. Well did our Lord warn us. Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Verse 17, and this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. Fire-breathing horses? That suggests their kinship with the proverbial dragon, doesn't it? Do you remember how Job described him? Job 41. Out of his mouth go flaming torches, sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils comes forth smoke as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. This army of heresy goes forward in its great strength, spewing lies that are set on fire from hell itself, note the sulfur, and that the horses have lions' heads is perhaps a giveaway, that they are in the service of the one who, in 1 Peter 5:8, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, to eat. Verse 18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. So get this. The third of mankind is killed by the fire, smoke, and sulfur that come from the mouths of this army of heretics. Modern people tend to be like Pilate and wonder if anyone can ever really know truth. The revelation of St. John, if it reveals anything, reveals that lies are deadly, that heresy matters, because set on fire from hell, it brings to hell those who are duped by it. We need to be done once and for all with the delusion of universal salvation, which is implicitly held by nearly all quarters these days. We need to recover the truth expressed in the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish everlastingly. Verse 19. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. If the lion-like head doesn't give away in whose service these heretics are, surely the tail like a serpent with a head must. These are satanic stooges from start to finish. They're all set on fire from hell itself. They kill and wound, coming and going. A fearsome enemy indeed. But here's something even more fearsome. Verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands or give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. This passage makes quite explicit that pagan idolatry is never an innocent alternative. It always involves worshiping demons. This is the same truth Paul makes explicit in 1 Corinthians 10, right? No, I imply what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. And out from the worship of demons flow the works of demons, murder, sorceries, black arts, sexual immorality, and theft. Devoting themselves to the practice of these horrible things, the remnant of mankind that have been left alive by the previous plague perseveres in impenitence and rebellion against the Lamb. My teacher, Dr. Louis Brighton, in his Revelation commentary observes, idolatry leads to increasingly shameful acts, escalating guilt, and encouragement to sin all the more as they applaud each other in their degeneracy. As we'll find out later in Revelation 22, verse 15, those who devote themselves to witchcraft or idolatry, they're not going to be able to enter the new heavens and the new earth, which Christ has prepared. That's where we're going to call our halt for today, people loved by God. In the next section, we'll encounter yet another angel, described as mighty, coming down from heaven, with a description that will surely ring some bells for you, hearkening back to the initial vision of Revelation. And this mighty angel holds in his hand a little scroll, and it's open. He plants one foot on the sea and the other on the land, kind of like a giant colossus of Rhodes, and he will call out with a loud voice, like the roar of a lion. Seven thunders will answer that voice, and John has pen poised to write down exactly what the thunders have said. When a heavenly voice directs him to stop, he's not to write that down, but rather to seal it up. You see, Revelation tells you what you need to know, not everything you might be curious about. God has never said that he has not reserved secrets for himself. Of course he has. But he does disclose what's needed for salvation. And for that, thanks be to him forever. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.